Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to get together to praise and to worship you. Father, that we as a body of believers can join and just learn more about you. Father, may this morning be all about glorifying you and not ourselves. May we look to you for all that we need. Father, we thank you for the offerings that you provide for this church. Father, may it be used for your glory and not our own. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. This is that moment in each service that we set aside to pray for the lost in our community. For those three people in our lives that God has laid on our hearts for Jesus. You know, we all know lost people. We all know people that don't know Jesus and who truly need him. And this is one of those times that we take to lift them up in prayer. And I pray that this is not the only time that you guys are doing this, but this is done each and every day. We've got these little cards, they're out there that say my three. If you don't have one, I would encourage you to take one and write three people's names that need Jesus. We already know that God is answering prayers. We already know that people have come to Jesus through this prayer time. And we know that he works in powerful ways and ways that we can't always understand. We know that conversations have started since people have started praying for different people. You know, I've had loved ones themselves. And I know many of you guys have as well. So let us not stop seeking God's face for this and continuously lift them up. So let's take a moment and pray. And whilst I pray out loud, I pray that you guys pray for your three on your own as well. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ability we have to come together. Father, we all have people in our lives that need you. We all have people in our lives that are lost in this world. And that are searching for truth and hope. Father, we want to lift these people up today that they may come to know who you are in all the amazing ways that you love them, that they may see that they are created in your image and that they have value and meaning to their lives. Father, we pray for a moment in time for us to be able to share openly what God has done in their lives and ours. Father, I pray for these people on each of our lists that the right person comes along at the right time, that you open that door for that conversation, and that we may show your love and mercy through it all. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
One voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars. One breath that gives life. One sovereign in power who speaks with thunder and fire. One Lord, one King. There is no other that can compare to you. You are the one alone in greatness, the one I believe in. the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen. The glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Thank you for that, guys. Good morning, church. Man, am I thankful for all of you here this morning. Even with a beautiful day, you guys still made it to church this morning, and I'm thankful for that. I want to welcome our guests this morning as well, and as long with those that are joining us online and on the radio, we're glad that you could be with us, even if it's at a distance. Before we dive into the message this morning, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to grow in you, to grow in knowledge and wisdom. Father, I ask that this morning that you may just break our hearts, that we may see people as you see them, that we may learn who they are in your eyes. Father, that we may pursue becoming the hands and feet of Jesus. Father, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. And Father, that you make your presence here known. And Father, if I say anything of you that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, it's good to be here. I know I keep going through this Life of Christ series with you guys, and hopefully you're not tired of it because we still got a long way to go to get through Jesus' life. There's a lot to be said. You know, and it's been interesting and challenging in different ways as I've studied and prepared for these messages. I can't even get half out what I learned throughout a week. But it's been interesting to see how Jesus responded to people, how he interacted with the world around him. Learning that age-old question, what would Jesus do? Throughout the life of Christ, we see him handing out grace. And he didn't just hand out a little bit of grace. He handed it out in abundance to people. Yet through it all, he was very firm. He was very direct. He called sin what it is. He called it sin. He didn't hold back. And because of this, some people absolutely loved him, and some despised him. Yet, he met different people along the way. Some were upset with him. Others didn't find themselves worthy of him. They didn't find themselves worthy to be in his presence. Like the disciples last week, the very first ones called. Last week, we looked at the calling of Peter and how Peter to become a disciple and not just a fan of Jesus, but a fully committed follower, will down his own way of doing things and look to Jesus. We know that the world around us likes the idea of Jesus. There are people within our church that are fans of Jesus. There's people within our communities that are fans of Jesus, but not everyone is willing to give up their lives and follow Jesus. What I found interesting about the text last week was how Peter had to be broken of himself, that he had to move from his own way of thinking, his fleshly thoughts and desires, and learn to trust Jesus. It wasn't until Peter got to that point that Jesus was able to fully call him to become a full-time disciple of him. It was at that point that Peter said, "Okay, Lord, I left everything," and he left everything he had ever known. And he started to follow Jesus around. Eventually, Peter became the leader of the first church. And man, did Jesus use him in some mighty ways once he got out of his own way. He learned what it means to allow Jesus to be Lord of his life, to put God's thoughts before his own thoughts. So often for us, we have a hard time getting to that point. We have a hard time surrendering it all to Jesus. You know, God has a plan for each of us. He has a plan for you and I. But he's called us to leave our old way of life, to give up our own way of thinking, and to be transformed and renewed. He wants us to learn to let God be the Lord of our lives and hold nothing back from him. And that's not always easy. In fact, it often goes against the very grain of our body, against everything that we want to do. But often, and also often, we don't feel worthy of the call that God has placed in our lives. Just as Peter said last week to Jesus, "Go away from me because I am a sinful man." In our passage today, we see another man who did not feel worthy, yet he knew Jesus was the only one that could make him clean again. He knew Jesus was the only hope he had in life. And he didn't demand anything from Jesus. He didn't even necessarily expect it. He knew he was unclean, but he also knew that Jesus was the only one that could save him in that moment in his life. He had hit rock bottom and had literally nowhere else to go. Jesus was the only hope that he had. The story we're looking at today is the one where Jesus heals a man with leprosy. This story can be found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. It can also be found in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. But today we're going to be using Mark's account for the purpose of this message. It can be found in Mark chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, for anybody who wants to follow along. We're going to start with verse 39. And it states, "He went into Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons." Just as we've seen in weeks past, surprise, surprise, Jesus is teaching again. And he's still in Galilee, the region there anyways, proclaiming the gospel message. He did a lot of this in the synagogues. It was one of the primary places where teaching of the scriptures was done during that time. And it was also a place where the leaders of the community would often hang out. And a lot of times, if we want to transform our communities, we have to start with our leaders. You know, that time of the synagogue was often housing all the local communities, all the different teachers of the area. People would come to just sit and listen. But we also know that Jesus wasn't scared to go out to the wilderness, that he wasn't scared to head out to wherever the people were at. Because where the people were is where Jesus went. Though in verse 39, it makes mention of driving out demons, the idea of performing miracles was the second aspect of Jesus' earthly ministry. In fact, it tells us in verse 38, if we go back one, "And he said to them, 'Let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come.'" Jesus made it clear he is there to preach the good news, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is his primary mission, to call people back to our Heavenly Father. He didn't want to just be seen as a popular miracle worker. Though Jesus did perform many miracles, that was not his only task, and it wasn't his primary. He wanted to see lives transformed for the sake of the kingdom of God. He wanted to see people turn back to their Heavenly Father, to be in communion with him. The miracles and healings, the casting out of demons, were secondary and used to show his authority as the Messiah. Don't get me wrong, they were important aspects of what he was doing, but it was not his primary mission. It's like the job of the church today. You know, we're called to take care of the sick. We're called to take care of the widows and the orphans, to feed the hungry, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. These are all part of the calling we have as the body of Christ. But our first and foremost calling as believers is to fulfill the great commission laid out in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age." Just as Jesus, throughout his ministry, taught that connecting people with our Heavenly Father was always his first goal, that should always remain our number one goal as well. Not just to grow the church for the sake of saying, "Oh, look how many people we have here." Not to make us look better, but for the sake of the lost and the hurting, connecting them to the one that heals the hearts and the minds, that restores us. We can't restore people. We can't heal people, but we know the one that can. We know Jesus. And this is why Jesus came. This is why he came to die on the cross for you and I. This is why he came for the lost in our community. Yes, we're called to feed the hungry. Yes, we're called to take care of the sick and the elderly. We're called to provide for the orphans and the widows, but so often we skip over the gospel message itself and just go to the latter. Yet Jesus gives us an example that we're called to do both, and it starts by sharing the gospel message. But we know the gospel itself can be offensive. We know it can be difficult at times to share, especially when someone is living an openly defiant life against our Heavenly Father. You know, it's oftentimes easier for us, especially here in America, to give money to a charity. It's easier to buy someone a meal than it is to sit down and talk to someone. To reach out where they are in life and just communicate with them can be so much more difficult, especially when their lives look nothing like ours. To go and share the gospel with the lost in our community and in our world can make us very uncomfortable. It can move us into areas we've never been. It can take us places in relationships that we've never encountered before. We live in a world where we're always worried about how others are going to look at us. We're worried about our social standings in our communities. Too often, even within the church, we're worried about how our brothers and sisters in Christ will look at us if they see us someplace that we feel that maybe isn't where we should be. But that's where the lost are. You know, we're called to go where the lost in our world are. Yet too often we avoid those areas because we are concerned how others in church may say about us. We're concerned what people may think if they know that we're going to those kinds of locations. If we interact with the lost of this world, will we be looked at as sinners ourselves? Just because the people that were around at that moment? Yet when we look over to Jesus' life and ask the question, what would Jesus do? We see in the text today, he didn't worry about such things. Instead, he reached out to the outcasts of his time. He put out his hand and he touched them. He spent time with them. We're going to look at verse 40 as an example when it says, a man with leprosy came to him on his knees and begged him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I think it's important for us to understand the word leprosy here today. Leprosy in this passage was used in biblical times to designate a wide variety of skin diseases. If you look over to Leviticus chapter 13, you find that there are 7 different forms of skin diseases described there, all within the text, and all of them to mean leprosy of some form. They outline in that passage how to check for different conditions of that person. And if it fits any one of those 7, they're considered someone with leprosy. And according to Levitical law at that time, if someone had leprosy, they were to wear a distinct color of clothing, a distinct style of clothing, to signify to everyone around them that they were unclean. Along with that, as they approached people or if people approached them, they were to yell out, unclean, unclean, to make sure nobody came close. No one would want to touch them in fear of becoming unclean themselves. In fact, the very act of touching someone who has leprosy would make you ceremonially unclean and no longer allowed in the temple. And everyone was concerned that they would become unclean. They were no longer allowed to interact with their own families and friends. They became the outcasts of society. What a heartbreaking place to be. This was a big deal. I want you to imagine for a second that you're no longer allowed to touch, hug, kiss any one of your family or friends. That you're no longer allowed to be in their presence out of fear. I think it's a little easier for us to understand that situation today than it may have been 5 years ago. Think back to 2020, when people were dying without being able to hug their loved ones. Think back to all the people that passed away with no loved ones by their side. I don't know about you guys, but that absolutely broke my heart. That there were people there. And that was what was going on with this leprosy moment. They were so moved away from society. That's what it meant for someone for leprosy. One person put it this way. People with leprosy were looked at as a walking corpse. I found that analogy very interesting. These were people who had death over their shoulders. They were afraid, they were alone, and they had no hope. All hope was gone. They were the outcasts, they were hurting. Yet these are the very people that we're called to reach out to. We may no longer call them a leper. But there are people in our community who still get treated this way. They may look very different. There may be the drug addicts, the alcoholics. We look at the ones who are dressed different than us. We look at them as our modern day leper. We turn our backs and we stay away from them. We look at the families being torn apart, and we just don't want anything to do with that. And we step back. But when we look over to Jesus and how he handled this situation, we see something very different. You see, there was a man with leprosy, and he came to Jesus. He didn't keep a distance from him as the law directed him to. Instead, he came straight to Jesus. He fell on his knees, and he cried out, "If you are willing, make me clean." He had heard all about Jesus. He knew who he was. He knew it was only Jesus that could change his life. He was lost. He was hurting. And he understood that Jesus was the only thing that could help him in this moment. This man was full of faith. He had no doubt that Jesus had the ability to heal him. But he wasn't sure if Jesus would. But he was willing to take the risk, and he approached him. He had hit that moment in life where he had nothing left to lose. He hit rock bottom. So he turned to Jesus. Often the people we run into in our world today know they're lost. You don't have to tell a sinner that they're a sinner. Odds are they're very aware of it. They know the path that they're going down is not one that is life-giving. Instead, they feel as if they are a walking corpse themselves. All joy of life has left them. They hear about this Jesus and they know with him life would be better, yet somewhere in the mix, they've gotten this wrong idea about him. My own cousin died of alcoholism, drank himself to death. And you know one of the most powerful things that he said, and I remember towards the end of his life, he said this, "You think I like being this way?" He understood there was a problem, but no one was being willing to reach out and give him a hand. Thankfully, he did turn his life over to Jesus before he died. But he asked that question, "Do you think I like being this way?" So many in the lost in our community feel that way. They don't like it, but they're stuck. And they have nowhere else to go anymore. I know another friend of mine, before he got saved, he said, "Man, I really got to get my life in order." Because for some reason, the way the gospel had been presented to him, the way people had talked to him about Jesus, he felt he needed his life in order before he could go to Jesus. That he had to straighten out everything that was wrong in his life before he would be accepted by Jesus. For some reason, people have taught this. But that's not how it goes. It's only once they turn to Jesus can they get their life straightened out. It's in partnership with him. You come to Jesus and he will get down in the dirt and the mud and everything else that you're in that moment, and he will help you overcome that. He will help you face whatever it is that you're facing. You don't have to do it alone. And church, we need to start presenting that to people. That no matter where they're at in life, God will get down in that dirt and mud with them. That there is hope no matter where they're at. As long as they're breathing, there is hope. In fact, when the man with leprosy asked that question to Jesus, Jesus, are you willing to make me clean? It tells us in verse 41 what Jesus said. It said, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he told him, be made clean. You see, Jesus met him right where he was at. He didn't care that by touching him, it made him ceremonially unclean. He didn't care what others were thinking when they would have seen him touch this leper. Instead, Jesus had compassion on this man and gave him something that he hadn't had in years. Jesus touched him, was there for him. Jesus was willing to go down in the trenches with this man and help him up. He was willing to help restore him to be the man that God had called him to be. Church, are we willing to reach down to the least of these in our community? Are we willing to start seeing people the way that God sees the people? To give them dignity and respect again, and to not worry about what others might say. See, when Jesus places love and compassion over rituals and regulations of the law, we see his hands and feet at work. Are we compassionate in those same moments? Are we praying that we can see people the way that God sees them? As someone created in his image, that we can start seeing people further than just the sin in their lives. Because let's be honest, we all have sin in our lives. We all have mistakes that we have made in our lives. And we know that after Jesus said he was willing to be clean, it tells us in verse 42 that immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. When someone turns to Jesus, it's the most amazing thing in the world that happens. No matter where they're at in the pit, no matter how much mud they're in at that moment, when they meet Jesus, their sins are washed away. Their past no longer defines them. And praise God that we get that same thing. Praise God that our own past no longer define us. That we've been given that same gift as anyone else. The moment that we come to Jesus, our past is no longer there. That all our Heavenly Father sees in us is Christ within us. That is not about the good works or how good we were or how bad we were. It is simply Jesus. And he is willing. Our sins are washed away and we're white as snow again. We're no longer a walking corpse. We're no longer lost people walking around. We have a Heavenly Father there to guide us and direct us. And praise God for that this morning. I can't imagine where my life would be without him. I can't imagine the pain and the sorrow I would be in. Does it mean that life is always easy? No. But I guess what? I don't have to face it alone anymore. That's why we're called to reach out to people. We're there to give them hope, to show them Jesus, the one that can restore them. It tells us in 43 and 44 that he sternly warned him and sent him away at once, telling him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. We may wonder why Jesus would say that. I think if it was me, if I had been an outcast for so long and I haven't been able to hug my family and friends and all of that thing, the first thing I would probably do is run to my family, you know? Look, check it out. I'm good. Yet here's the thing we don't think about. They were still under the law. And for a man to be seen as clean to the world around him, he had to go to the priest and be pronounced ceremonially clean. This would be a testimony to the world around him about the power of Christ and what the Messiah was there doing. By going to the temple where all these people were and showing himself, it showed Jesus that he was once a walking corpse, yet now he's alive. He's clean. You know, it's just like when we come to Jesus, we're made new. We're given a new life, an everlasting life. Just as this man was called to go to the temple and show himself to the priests and to give a testimony of the change that Christ did in him, once we become saved, once we turn to Jesus, we're called to go and be baptized to give a public testimony to the world around us of the change that Christ has done in us. Now, baptism doesn't save us, but it's one of the ways that we proclaim it to the world of what God has done, that he has wiped us clean. He no longer sees the old self, that we are made new, and we are a new creation. To show that our lives are in line with Christ now and not with the world. It tells us in verse 45 that he went out and he began proclaiming it widely to spread the news, with the results that no longer enter a town openly. But he was out in a desert place, and they came to him from everywhere. Because of him going out and telling everyone, Jesus was no longer able to enter a town openly. He was chased after by all. Even when he could go out to a deserted place, people came far and wide to see him. Now I will say this, the problem is many didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. Instead, they only wanted the miracles. That has not changed in our world today. Many like what Jesus has to offer, but they don't want to give up their lives that they have. They don't want to live that transformed life. They don't want the relationship with our Heavenly Father. They don't want to give up things of this world. To live a life as a living sacrifice, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and to tell people the good news of the kingdom. My question for you this morning is, are you one of those people who are ready to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus? To live a life that is set apart from the world around us. To proclaim the good news of the gospel and the change that he has done in us. Are we ready to get down into the mud and the dirt with the people around us and show them Jesus in our actions? Because that's what we're called to do. We're not just called to come in on church on Sunday mornings for an hour, but to proclaim the gospel message. How blessed are we that we get to do that and partner with Jesus. I praise God for that every day. And I know it's not always easy. But it's what we're called to do. To help take these people that are walking corpses, show them the one that can bring life back to them. Are you willing to do that? To have the hard conversations? And to show love and grace along the way? And not just expect people to look like us automatically? Because that's not how it works. All of us together as the body do this work. It isn't one person. It isn't two people. It isn't the staff at a church. It isn't the missionaries. It is the body of Christ working together to do what Jesus did, to proclaim the gospel message and to restore hope. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together in your name. Father, I ask that this morning that our hearts are transformed, that we can start seeing people the way that you see them. That we don't just look at them as a lost cause, but we look at them as someone who needs you, who needs to be in relationship with you, that we're not satisfied with just the status quo anymore, that we know that you bring power and might in ways that we can't understand, and that you can do transformational work that we can't. Father, may we seek you And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go out this week, may you seek Jesus in everything that you do. May you see the lost for who they are, someone made in the image of God, needing a relationship with him. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.